Disasters are a reality of life in the Pacific, but so is the strength and resilience of its people. Pacific Prepared shares first-hand stories from communities on the ground, drawing on tradition, culture, and collective wisdom to stay safe and support one another in times of disaster. Pacific Prepared explores how communities are adapting and protecting what matters most. Search up ABC Pacific Prepared to listen online or find it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Malola Lee and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes and this show is all about keeping you across all things Pacifica sport. So let's not waste any time and get to what's coming up on the show. You will meet someone who holds a big job in Tonga involved in the OFC Pro League.
My name is Manu Toalau. I am the head coach for the under-16 boys.
And you'll meet one of Samoa's fastest men, Maika Maiafukioa.
Aloha. My chosen sport is I am a wanted meter hurdler for Samoa, and I also run the 4x1 and the 4x4 relays.
We'll also talk through massive news in the worlds of seven, some wrestling, plus boxing, and the world game after some OFC Pro League action. But to do all of this, I do need a fair bit of help, and every week I'm joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific to chat sport in the region. And this week, we have the one, the only, Kalo Manumoli. Kalo, malolele.
Malolele. I feel like there's an applause. Everybody.
Yep, there it is. Yep, I'll give you the applause there. She is on all the way from the beautiful island of Tonga. And we also have from another beautiful island, Gabriel Abilu from Samoa. Welcome. Talo Falava.
Tala Falava, warm Pacific greetings team. How's everyone?
Very well, actually. Always favourite day of the week, Monday, Thursday and Fridays, because I get to talk all things sport on various shows. But, Galo, I'll start with you. Queen Salote, 100-year celebrations was, I think it might be finished now, or could be still going in Tonga. Were you a part of those celebrations?
Well, I'm not an ex-student, but I have relatives and ancestors who were in the school or having something related to the school. So, yes, it was a national celebration. We even had a public holiday declared for that special day last Thursday. So while you guys were doing Fresh Off the Field, we were here celebrating with a wave of blue flags, blue colours, blue outfits and puletaha all over Tonga.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw it all over social media, some of the celebrations. It looked amazing and I'm sure everyone was well-behaved. Am I incorrect in saying that too? Well-behaved? Sort of? No comment.
Please don't get me. Please don't get me into trouble because nah. I'm from the next door neighbor school.
Oh, okay.
So we're called the next. Yeah. So sometimes we have a bit of a tense relationship between Tonga High School and Queen Salote. But this time we were all very merry and very happy, and you know everybody was celebrating the 100th year for the Queen Salote. Wow. So cheers.
Yeah, beautiful. We'll leave it on that note then. And Gabs, beautiful Samoa, how is that treating you?
Well, I think sport is heating up. We've got quite a bit of international ongoings being hosted here in Samoa this week and last week. So exciting things to watch out for.
Absolutely.
In the 685.
In the 685 to the world, plenty happening. So let's get into the show.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, we're going to kick things off with the big bowl. And the big bowl is where we come together, we take a seat on the mats and chat the biggest sports stories across the Pacific. So sit back, fill up your cup as myself, Gallo and Gabs run through the must-know sports in the region.
The big bowl.
We've got our producer Phil there doing a taolunga in the back there, dancing and feeling the vibes with that intro. But Gallo, we're going to start with you, the drawer. It looked doom and gloom at the beginning of the season with a couple of losses, but they have turned things around in Fiji when they got over the Brumbies in Bar.
Exciting times, of course, for their team Drua, especially on their own soil. They had all the wave of support there, and just amazing win over the Brumbies, historical, in fact. So it's quite exciting to see a 42 win over 27. I don't know how that happened. I think maybe Brumbies was feeling a bit jet lagged, but I'm not going to go there. Great game all around for the team. Great turnaround, especially when they haven't been performing that well. Looking at the where they are at the moment, Drua is sitting at number 9. And then, you know, they are trying to pick a fight with team number 3. So to me, like, this win was like a slap across the face. But, I still, in my heart, I still love Brumbies. You guys can still turn around from this. But Drua, oh, man, I take my hat off to you, Drua. Great game.
Well, when you think about that slap across the face, they're coming up against someone's third. Well, they've knocked off number 1, which was Brumbies, which in that game, and they knocked off number 2 or 3 with the Hurricanes. So they are going well against their so-called heavyweights, the David and Goliath battles. When you think about this win, Gabs, and we think about playing in the Islands, what usually comes to mind straight away when you think about playing in the Islands? For the opposition when they have to travel.
Oh, I think the opposition know what's up. and yeah, they know they're up against pride, like national pride, everything's at stake here. And that's probably something I also wanted to ask Gallo around the game. Do you think, Gallo, that with this, intense, do you think that Drua also faced a little bit of pressure because they're playing on home ground?
I believe so. And it's not just for Drua. It's just any local games that are being played on your home soil. There's a special mafana or spirit to it where they get all the supporters and they have their families and relatives all around supporting them. You just don't want to let them down. You just want to play your very best, ultimate Superman out there on the field. And definitely kick the ball, to win. So, yeah, they really showed up and they really did wonderfully with the great win. 42, that's amazing.
You're not wrong. And, Gabs, I really liked when you said, you're up against national pride and it was on full display in Bar, the first time they've ever played over in Bar. And when you looked at the crowd and when the cameras panned around the stadium, we saw fans inside the trees. Like they were literally, there was 20 people on the branches around the trees trying to get a glimpse of the game. And when you see, young kids, even adults, in the trees watching their stars, how does that make you feel when you talk about national pride and wanting to watch your team do well?
Well, I think it's overall a very humbling experience because at us Pacific Islanders, we don't just carry ourselves, right? You're not an individual at this moment. You're carrying your whole lineage with you. You're carrying your whole culture with you. So not only is it a lot of pressure, but it's also a sense of belonging and identity that you cannot shake off. And it really does allows you to put your best foot forward for everybody.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And for Gallo, before we move on to Gabs' story, we talked about the national pride and being able to play in the islands in Fiji. Moana Pacifica was supposed to play in Tonga. Again, this is the second year in a row where it hasn't come to fruition. How disappointed are the people of Tonga not being able to see Moana take on a team at Delfeva Stadium?
Yeah, I can't lie. I've seen a lot of people voicing and posting their disappointment on social media, and they have vocally said it over radio programs and TV. But, it is what it is. We just have to be more prepared for next time. When they do decide to visit, we will be ready with the red wave.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. That's for sure, Packer Delfeva Stadium. But Gabs, let's get over to your story now. Oceania Wrestling is being hosted in Samoa. 200 athletes from 13 different countries. Starts on Friday. What are some of the big talking points out of this one?
Oh, yeah. It is. Well, because we're such a small country, we've literally no spaces on the flights. People are complaining because the Oceania Wrestling has taken over. It's a historic first for Samoa because it really just highlights a major shift in positioning Samoa as sort of like a permanent central wrestling hub for the rest of the Pacific. It really opens up competitive pathways. We've got the under 17s, the under 20s, as well as the senior divisions back to back for both women and men. So it provides a rare full ladder opportunity for the sport to be witnessed by so many. They've got an all-star inclusive, massive schedule because it covers every major discipline under the United World Wrestling umbrella. So you've got the Olympic styles, which is the freestyle, the Greco-Roman, and then you've got the women's wrestling in the code as well as beach wrestling.
I was about to ask, is there beach?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
that's been beach at the Pacific Games and the Pacific Mini Games,
yes,
the Micronesia Games. I've been able to watch that live. It's a different style,
yeah,
and it's a cool, I think it's a cool opportunity just to see what that's like compared to the other ones indoor, but I'm glad that's happening over there. Whereabouts are all of these events taking place, like even the beach wrestling as well as
so
all
the beach
other
wrestling
disciplines?
The beach wrestling will be at one of Samoa's iconic beaches, which is at Maninoa. That'll be not tomorrow, but it'll be Saturday. And then tomorrow, Friday, we're at the Oceania Weightlifting Academy, which is also the home to wrestling, and that's where Greco-Roman and the freestyles for both men and women will be taking place. So it's a full-on schedule. They've got coaching and refereeing clinics before, during, and after the championship. So you've got a whole 2 week of action-packed wrestling, Olympic wrestling going on, and it's really cool.
And
like,
how,
it's happening.
And how is Samoa placed in the wrestling events?
Wow.
Any standout performers that we should be keeping an eye on?
I would like to highlight one of the boys. He wrestles in the 100 plus. His name is Tai Tai Fono. He won the last competition here. He's, you know, keep an eye on him. He's young. He's mobile for someone his size. So he's in the, you know, 100 plus. And I think coming up against the more prominent countries that do have wrestling there, like Guam and American Samoa, New Zealand and Australia, who are also here, it's going to be a great highlight. Not forgetting, one of the highlights I've seen is the young girl from Guam who's looking to use this championship to further promote women into wrestling at the Olympics. So exciting. She's in the 70 under category, so exciting to keep an eye out for that one.
Gullah, when you think about, just off the back of that, of what Gab said around females competing in a style of wrestling, again, probably when you were coming through, there was none of that. What's your thoughts around, you know, making sure that there's more opportunities for females in sports like wrestling?
Sounds very interesting. I haven't seen any female wrestling athletes around here, but yeah, I'm keen to know. Yeah, all I can think about is the history of Tonga and wrestling. They go way back, but it's only the male. So I haven't really seen anybody coming out, you know, as a female doing wrestling. Or maybe there is that I haven't even fully grasp it yet. Maybe in the next program, I'll definitely do my work and research and to know if there are some. But yes, I agree. You know, it's not just a sport for men. It's not just wrestling now. It's all sports across, you know, all across the board. Female athletics are coming up and they're showing they can do it too in all male dominant sports. So it's very encouraging to see. And there are lots of development programs going on currently underway to try and encourage our women, inspire them to really get out there.
Yeah, that's perfect in a sense that the more we see our female athletes, you know, in sports like wrestling, the more it becomes normal and the more younger females will want to go, oh, you know what, I can actually try that. So I think tournaments like this go a long way to make sure that people can aspire to, you know, different sports. I think that's pretty cool. When I think about 200 athletes going to Samoa, wrestlers as well, I think about the food bill, some of the local shops, some of the local cuisines. For anyone listening out there, where would you say would be the local spot to go and get some nice Samoan food?
Well, I would say go straight to a Samoan family. Just pop in. we're all family here. Just pop in next door. You'll be welcome regardless. Well,
there you go. Knock on the door and ask if you can join the family food, family dinner. So
sounds just like Tonga, huh?
Yeah.
And, I'm sure they will let you in. But anyway, good luck to all the wrestlers over in Samoa.
Want the latest Pacific Rugby League and Union news and interviews with stars of the game? Tune in to Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tini Rau Arona.
Chris Breezy.
De Brasini. Fun fact, he's Cook Islander.
He's a Cook Islander, yeah.
Man. How do you get that? I couldn't even say his last name.
Nation Footy, Monday afternoons at 4 o'clock PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to go back to rugby now with the story from the New York Sevens. I thought this is one that we should highlight, is the Fijiana Sevens team finished fourth overall at the New York Sevens. Did any of you catch the Fijiana Sevens ladies go pretty well over in New York?
I think with the time difference.
Time difference, but, I was going to say that. Yes, yeah.
Yes,
that's a great
time
excuse. Yes, that is a great excuse. But you can always watch a replay on YouTube. But anyway, I thought it was for Fijiana. They've been building nicely over, I think, how many tournaments now? Maybe five tournaments so far with three to go. I don't think they got a win in Perth at the very first tournament or the second tournament, I think. But you know, for them to get to the semi-finals and just go down to Australia, I think this is a testament to their persistence, their willingness to work hard for each other and still show up, even though they've had some disappointing results in previous tournaments. So I love the fact that they've stayed connected and stayed tight and still continue to work hard to try and change these results around. And we've seen in their first game, they defeated France 22 points to 17. Amazing victory there. They lost to New Zealand 31 points to 10 in their second pool match, but bounced back to have a great win over Great Britain, 36 points to 12, which allowed them to go to the semi-final and just go down to Australia 22 points to 14. They lost the third place playoff to USA 26 to 17, but again, what a fantastic tournament for these ladies. They now sit sixth out of the eight teams in the world standings, 4 points behind Canada, who are now fifth. Three more tournaments left, and I do believe there could be a grand final tournament appearance in the next three. I believe they're building nicely. That's my prediction. Next leg is in Hong Kong on the 17th of April. So we are wishing all of our Fijiana Sevens players a lot of love, a lot of luck, and hopefully you can get to that grand final and continue the good work that you've been doing. So, unbelievable. Let's get over to our interviews.
ABC Radio Australia. Off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, if you've just joined us, we just finished up the Big Bowl where we brought in some really cool stories from across the Pacific. Now we're on to one of the best parts of the show where we get to interview some of our famous athletes from across the Pacific. And Galo, we're going to start with you and hear your chat with Coach Manu Tu'alau in charge of Tonga's under-16s men's football team. They are finalising their preparations for something big that's coming up.
Caught them at their training yesterday afternoon. Can see that they are training really hard for the OFC Qualifiers Championship next week. They are ready to welcome other Pacific Island countries into Tonga to play some really good games. So I started out by asking him about how their preparations are going and how he feels about Tonga team.
The boys are getting there, and I'm proud of the boys. We've been training for about 3 months now, and I see they improve in the boys, and scared we are ready for the competition.
So I can see that you are going to go against a few of the Pacific Island countries. Which game is the one that you are very much excited to do?
I'm excited to face against the Vanuatu and also the Cook Island team, because I heard of from the DDS development officer, it was they were going against the Cook Island last year with the under 15, and they lost in the game, but they win on the penalty kick. So I'm excited to face those two teams.
So with the Tonga team in preparation, do you have any secret weapon in your players? Who are they, and what is their special talent they're bringing onto the team?
I have a few secret weapon, but I cannot reveal it. But hopefully, we're gonna reveal it on the field when we had the games. And also some of the boys from last year under 16, they still in the under 16, and I'll give you a hint: those who are making the score from last year. Yeah.
It's good to see that you've got some really strong boys, well represented throughout Tonga. Anyone from the outer islands?
Yes, I have two players from Vava'u and three players from Ewa, and they're also excited to participate in the game.
Oh, that's great. Have you been coaching long? Can you tell us a bit about your coaching background or sports? Did you play the sport?
I've been playing on the Premier League of Lotu Hapai before I became a coach. At the same time, I started with the Just Play program as a volunteer. And then from a volunteer, they recruited me to be one of their instructors. So a few years from there, I'm already an instructor. So, yeah, and from instructor, the technical department appointed me to be take another role as a futsal development officer, which is indoor football. And from there, they're including me now on the started last year. I started coaching on the under 16 boys. So, and they give me another chance for this year.
Sounds very exciting, Manu. But, you know, this is a great sport that should be played by, you know, all ages and all of the young boys and girls as well. You've got teens in the girls' team. But what is something that you want to say to the youth out there to encourage them about the sport?
Football is not only for football, but just as I said, I started as a volunteer for Just Play. Just Play, they are mainly for the inclusion of boys and girls to be participate. And the football is for everyone. And we say that football is a way of changing life. They can transform lives. So it's an opportunity for everyone to participate. And there's another team preparing for under 15 girls, and everyone are welcome.
Sounds good. Too bad I'm not under 15 anymore. I would have joined. So with the preparations for next week, what's the whole program? How many countries are coming in and where they're going to be staying?
The program is we start on the game on 25th next week, and I don't know where the other team are staying, but we are staying here in the Tonga Football Centre, and everyone are getting ready.
And this is where we're going to hold all the games?
Yeah, and the game is on the field number one, and they are preparing that field.
Is there encouragement to all the... A word you want to say to the people of Tonga to come and support the team and also the competition?
Okay. First of all, I would like to give thanks for the parents of this kid. They are accepting those kids to be part of the under 16, and also the government, the Department of Education, for allowing schools, those government schools, to allow those boys from those colleges like Atele and Tonga High to be part of the under 16. And also the other college like FOO, Tagulau, Toloa, and Lihauna, for letting the boys be here for the training. And we are invited everyone. We are doing the best we can. and we're looking forward to be in the field, and the boys are getting there. Thank you.
So are you expecting the red wave of fans to be here next week to support?
Yes, I hope that everyone with the flags will be here, like we're watching on the Matematonga. Hopefully everyone be providing support for the boys. Thank you.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with me, Sam Wikes, and Maloa Pitokalo for that chat with Mr. Tu'alau, the coach of the under-16s Tonga soccer team. But Gabs, obviously, soccer's not the, you know, you want to say it's the main sport across, say, Tonga and Samoa, but it's wonderful to hear that there are some pathway opportunities for young players to go in a different direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful interview, Kalo. And so just on that, you know, coming on that front, what direction is football heading for in Tonga?
Well, at the moment, we are heading to the soccer field next week. So if you guys are available, you guys can join us and support the Red Wave. We're going to be welcoming our Pacific Island brothers and sisters. We've got Cook Islands, Vanuatu and American Samoa showing up to play some really good games. But yes, we are showing a lot of talent. We are very proud of our young boys. And it's not just here in Team Tonga, but just all over the Pacific, you know, just the development of these young ones. These boys are still in high school, but, you know, just to be allowed to have, you know, training opportunities, to be able to join these national competitions, to be able to represent Tonga, I think that's something really big.
Yeah, beautifully said. Gabs, we're going to hear from you and your impressive chat a bit later on in the show. But now it's time to do this and get on the Fresh Off the Field va'a.
Island hopping.
Here we go. We've talked about some of the biggest stories across the Pacific, but that just skims the surface of what we're doing here. So I think it's now time for us to grab a paddle, jump in the va'a, and go island hopping and see where the wind takes us. Hopefully it takes us further than that one paddle, but Galo, you're going to be up first here with some sevens chat as well.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. So, because I need a bit of exercise, so I was paddling like really far away, like all the way to New York. was able to witness and applaud our Fiji men's sevens team who was going against the South African Blitz Sox team. So it was amazing.
Sorry, the Blitz what?
Blitz Sox.
Are you sure that's how you say it? Or the Blitz Bocker?
Wait, hold on.
The Blitz Box.
The Blitz Socks. I love
you. The Blitz Socks.
Let's go with the socks.
Let's go with the Blitz Socks. Okay. That's a new team. That's a new team. I love it, Kalo. That's
set up by Kalo.
That is so staying in as well.
Be careful. I'm gonna be I'm gonna get hurt on the streets today.
How good. But anyway, what's going on with the Blitz Socks?
I'm sorry, staying corrected. It's Blitz Blocks. Blitz Box.
Box. So like the spring, yes, box.
Yeah. So it's the Blitz Box. Yeah.
There we go.
That's hard it is? Yeah. The name of champions is always so hard to pronounce, but, you know, it's not nothing bias or anything going against South Africa. Still have much love for our Fiji team. They did so well. They had a great journey coming through. They even did a Blitz Sox on the Australian team. But yeah,
we've run out
exciting.
Of time for island hopping because we're trying to get the South African name right. What happened on the field? Sorry, I'm distracted.
Lots of things was happening on the field, even though there weren't any people peeking in from the trees and from the coconut trees. But we can see that, you know, the Pacific was well represented. And not only that, despite the time difference, a lot of people from the fans here in Tonga and all around the Pacific, we were cheering very loudly for our team. But even though they did not come back with the cup, 10-7 victory for South Africa this time. But, you know, our sevens team, they really showed their best out there on the field. And I'm sure they're going to be back there again to make sure they bring back the cup next time.
Yep, you're not wrong. They will be in Hong Kong. So hopefully the Fijian women and the Fijian men come home with some trophies after that tournament over there. But Gabs, I believe where are we headed with you next? Is it rugby league? Somewhere in the Pacific with rugby league. What have you got for us here?
Wow, we're paddled away from New York. And so we've paddled over to New Zealand, and New Zealand has landed back in Samoa for us. And that was on rugby league, the under 16, for the Prime Minister's Cup. And I think one of the biggest highlights for this one, this was just literally 2 days ago, was it was St. Stephen's College, their team called Tipene. They're from Auckland, and they came together with the Auckland Rugby League, as well as the New Zealand Prime Minister, the Honourable Christopher Luxon. So he was in attendance to witness this historical and will now be an annual event for the under-16s. Unfortunately, their opposition here in Samoa put up a valiant fight, but in the end, the winners emerged, Te Pine from Auckland. And so, yeah, we're looking to 2027's rematch. Okay. But it was great. Great display of rugby league for young boys.
I've got no doubt there would have been plenty of scouts watching this game, because that's the ripe age group where
absolutely
we do see a lot of clubs and managers and stuff trying to watch these local games and unearth the next Payne Haas or Joseph Suaalii. Anyone you know of in those games that stood out, caught your eye?
I think just through observation, just the sheer size of the Auckland boys, they were all quite outstanding. And I think it had a lot to do with the fact they were heaps bigger.
You know, when you look at that, you go, surely, are these, they can't be 16. Is that what your first thought was?
No. I'm like, you are well fed. You are well fed 16-year-olds.
Sounds like all the Pacific Island youth.
Plenty of
manioque
in their dietary needs. Is that right? They're just why they're so
big. Absolutely right.
Oh,
and I think they also our Wesley College, they were amazing. They had the height, just didn't have the girth, if that makes any sense. Like they're not as bulky. In the end it was 6-4, so that was a pretty good result.
That's a close game. 6-4.
It was a really close. Yeah, it was a really close game. It was amazing. We also had, and I think I'll leave that for my next island hop, being a little bit of a surprise on that one, who also was in attendance that day.
Okay. Well, hold the phone right there. I'll do my one, and we'll get back to you. But I'll go towards. Where am I going towards? We're sort of here in Australia for this one, so I didn't have to paddle far at all. But a bit of boxing news. So on that Pacific Sports Show, we had Liam Taliva'a and Paulo Acuso on that Pacific Sports Show. Have you heard of these boxers? Samoan boxers? Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they've started to make a bit of noise around the boxing scene, especially Paulo. He's coming back off after, I think, 14 months of not boxing. So his fight, I believe, is on April 5th, and then Liam's got one on April 8th. I could have those dates around the wrong way. But anyway, when we had Liam on the show, I asked him a question about his opponents, because one of the big Cook Island heavyweights, Tere Moana, called him out, called out Liam in an interview just on the weekend, saying that he wants a fight with big Liam Taliva'a. So I reckon that would be an unbelievable match where there's some heavy hands being thrown. Have you seen the size of Tere Moana?
He's huge.
He is huge. So it would be a David.
They're big boys.
Yes, David Goliath battle in terms of height, but in terms of both men being able to throw heavy punches. I would hate to be in front of any of those two. So I just thought a massive shout out to our Pacific Island boxers who are ready to throw hands, ready to go at it, but also they're doing it with a lot of respect. So there's none of this. There's none of this back and forth of degrading or trying to sell the fight. There's just a lot of humility, and that's what I wanted to highlight, the fact that even though Teta Moana called him out, it was done in a real respectful way. And when Liam received the news, he goes, look, man, if the dollars make sense, man, I'd love to fight him. Much love to the big Cook Island man, but I'm going to be the better fighter on the day. And Teta Moana probably thinks the same way. So that's what I love about when our Pacific Island fighters are going at each other. There's a lot of respect and humility, and they do all their talking inside the ring. But that is my island hop. Gabs, go back to your one. What did you
do? So let's paddle back to Samoa, but, you know, via the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's a hint. So in attendance as well 2 days ago were members from the Melbourne Storm, the CEO, Justin Rodsky, and two players, Eli Katoa and Yang Tanumapea. So the boys were also here on a goodwill mission to promote rugby league, and also they came together as well with Australian rugby league and some friends from NRL just to, you know, it's a big year for Rugby League World Cup. But just, I think it's more seeing Eli and how well he's doing. It really warms the heart, and he was smiling. So I think that was a big, big bonus for me. And we were just chatting and having a lot of jokes on the side, considering what he came through. So
yeah, so you got to chat with story. Yeah, you got to chat with Eli Kakua there. So how is he? How is he? How's his spirits?
He's
obviously
awesome.
Going through the return to play from a horrific concussion, like concussion symptoms. Obviously having surgery as well after that big game last year. But yeah, how's he feeling?
He's feeling great. He's just like any other island boy. You sit down, it's like you've known each other forever, and it's just a lot of jokes, and he's in good spirits. You know, he's just overall, he's glowing. And, you know, I said to him, you know, I'm so happy that you're recovering well, because, considering what happened and what he's been through, he's looking good. He's looking very good.
I love that. And I know you said they're there for goodwill. The Melbourne Storm are there for goodwill. Make no mistake, they're trying to find the next Sua Fa'alonga there. That's for sure.
Oh,
so they're scouting. They are scouting. Goodwill. Don't get me wrong. They are there for that, but they are there to find the next Sua. So how good, how good. All right, Galo, we're going to go back to you now. You've got some local sports news in Tonga.
Thanks, Sam. Yeah, just a quick, actually it should be longer because I'm paddling back all the way from New York. I'm back on the Tonga Ocean now, and just looking over, we've got a lot of development programs happening currently. There's sports everywhere. There's tournaments going on in all different sports. We've got netball, but what has caught my eye is the great support from the sports program developments from Australia, and including the Australian Defence Force Sports. They've been helping out various ministries, even Defence Force here in Tonga with the women and men's team, trying to help them become better players in rugby as well. So they're doing training, but at the same time, not only just looking at perfecting those ones who have already got the skills, but they go out to the younger generation. They go to the primary schools. I saw that they went all the way to Kolowai, which is the furthest village on the western side here on the main island of Tongatapu. They were doing friendly games and sports with the young primary schoolers there. So it's exciting to see, you know, all the kids, you know, they love sports. And it's always good to inspire them to towards maybe rugby or any kind of sport. That's where I was heading towards with the update here from Tonga. But at the same time, the secondary schools are preparing themselves very well for the inter-college sports. That's the main highlight of the year for every high school. It's a great big competition here, and a lot of schools are training very hard for it.
Oh, I can't wait for that one, the inter-schools competition. More so what happens outside of that fence there with all the dancing and the smiles and the cheers. Yeah, it is a great spectacle to watch. But thank you for that, Galore. Last one from me now. We're just going to wish our PNG superstar, Mary Fowler, all the best in their Asian Cup grand final. She'll be representing the Matildas as they take on Japan on Saturday. In the decider for the Asian Cup Grand Final. The Australia haven't won a tournament since 2010, but Mary Fowler is in fine form and hopefully she gets to lift a trophy at the end of the night.
For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys. Join us for Stories from the Pacific, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or where you get your podcasts.
But all right, ladies, that's all we have time for. It's been a great paddle for our island hopping segment. It's time to get over to our next interview.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, Gabs, it's time to hear your chat that you had with Maika Mo'afukioa, one of Samoa's fastest men. And then I do believe that he has got some Tongan heritage in him as well. So that makes sense why he is an absolute champion. But, you know, when you interviewed him, what did you love about this interview?
So just before we got to his interview, because he was mentored in New Zealand by Dame Valerie Adams, as well as Alex Rose. So I was actually there, and it was just nice to be able to see the impact those Pacific superstars have on our young people. And so when I interviewed Maika, I just asked him, can you tell us more about how he found the championship in New Zealand?
Yeah, the competition held in New Zealand, it was for track and field. The Polynesian teams or countries were included in this competition. NZ and countries like Tahiti, Islands, Niue, Tonga, and also Samoa. Yes, it was with age groups from under 16, under 18, under 20s, and then open division. It was a really competitive competition for both NZ Championship and the Polynesian Championship.
I know both the New Zealand champs and the Polynesian Championship was held together. Were they the same, or were the Polynesian Cup was just specifically for the Polynesian countries that had participated in that one?
I guess it was the both. We were also included in the NZ Championships.
In that Poly Champs, which was only, as I mentioned before, only just a week ago held in Auckland, what has been a standout experience for you?
I guess a standout experience for me was competing in Auckland and seeing the levels of competition at both the Polynesian and NZ Championships. It was inspiring to be surrounded by so many talented athletes from across the Pacific and also New Zealand. Really motivates me to push myself and aim higher moving forward.
You know, Team Samoa was made up of all our people from across the world. Do you think that there was any differences in the standards of performance? And was it easy for all of you to gel together, as most of you sort of just met that day as well?
Yes, I agree. There were definitely differences in training environments, since some athletes train overseas while others are based back here at home in Samoa. But once we came together as a team, the pride of representing our country made it easy to connect and support each other. So our culture and shared identity helped us quickly as a team. We quickly bonded as a family as well.
So as an athlete from Samoa, or as we like to call on island or locals, what was your goal for the Polynesian champion?
One of my goals was to get 14 seconds in my 110-meter hurdles. One of my other goals was to give my best and represent Samoa pride. Coming from here, the islands, I wanted to prove that athletes from home still compete at a high level. It was also about gaining experience and building confidence for bigger competitions ahead.
Awesome. So, Maika, I know prior to you guys were in Auckland a week beforehand, attend 3-day camp facilitated by Dame Valerie Adams, and you had guest speakers such as Alex Rose, who's also part and parcel of Team Samoa, and Miracle Failangi. What was the key message you took away from them and have held close to heart?
Yeah, so learning from athletes like Lelu Adams, Miracle Failangi, and also Alex Rose was a huge privilege. The biggest message they shared was the importance of discipline and consistency. So hearing about their journeys reminded us that Pacific athletes can reach the top if we stay focused and committed to whatever sport we're doing. So put in the hard work, trying your best to get better at what you do.
How do you think Team Samoa could leverage the Polynesian Championships as a stepping stone to your next competitions?
Yeah, so help develop the athletes and also help me develop more about my event. Yeah, just confidence, and I'll get nervous before competing. It helps prepare athletes mentally and physically before stepping into bigger events like previous ones in NZ, New Zealand Championships and the Polynesian Championships. If used well, they can be a strong pathway for someone athletes aiming to compete at higher levels like the Olympics or Commonwealths,
yeah,
or the Oceania Games.
Well, Micah, what's next for you?
I guess an upcoming competition that I'm trying to prepare for is the Oceania in May.
That's held in
Australia, Darwin. Right now, I'm basically trying to prioritize my time, getting rid of old habits that were affecting my training and plans throughout the week. Me starting March, promised myself that I was going to change everything, do everything. I was willing to sacrifice everything for this competition so that I could prove that I've been working really hard for this. And so I just saw people that I'm going to be there, sending on my country and also aiming for gold.
That's a worthy goal, my friend. How do you think local athletes can be better supported as they look to compete, as you say, in the next higher level competition that you saw from your experience that we could help support athletes such as yourself?
I guess an answer for that question is the resources that we have. And in the islands or in Samoa, we don't have much resources and to be able to perform well or higher level. I guess we're just using what we have in hand to help prepare ourselves. One of the things that we also in supporting our local athletes is the recovery, injury prevention.
Micah, I want to congratulate you. Two golds, it's not an easy feat. You guys received gold for your 4x1, and then you also received gold for your 4x4. How did you feel about that?
Firstly, thought of the Lord getting those golds. It wasn't something you could achieve each day. So being grateful and giving gratitude to the Lord for helping you throughout your training, the work that you put in, made it a very memorable experience getting gold for the first time ever since I started running. Yeah, I was so happy for the boys that we all shared that moment together, the team.
When do you say you're done? When do you say I've achieved what I've set up to? What's the ultimate goal?
When I win. I've been doubted by so many, never really over until I say it's over. So when I finally achieve my goals by breaking Samoa's record, 510-meter hurdles, being able to compete in Commonwealth or the Olympics, then I'll say I'm done. Lastly, I'd like to give thanks to the Lord for everything he's done for me with my trainings. Shout out to my family around the world and also in Samoa, my friends, and also my coaches, especially Coach Gat.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with me, Sam Wykes, and thanks so much, Gabs, for that chat with Micah. What an impressive individual.
Every game.
What a brilliant try!
Every week.
Beautiful.
Don't miss a minute of the NRL in 2026.
It's game on, baby! This is remarkable footy.
With Andrew Moore and the best team in the business.
What a performance. What a game. What a team.
Hear it all right here.
Unbelievable.
On ABC Radio Australia.
Game, set, bingo.
Your home of rugby league in the Pacific.
All right, we've gone through all the serious stuff throughout this show. Now it's time to have a bit of fun. So let's do this.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, it is time to play Fresh Off the Dome. Each week I'll ask three questions. You will both use your name as your buzzer. Please do not dampen the mood with those sound effects, ladies. Get excited for this one and get ready to play Fresh Off the Dome. Make sure whoever's ready to go first, say your name and that person will have the opportunity to answer first, okay? And if you don't get it right, then our other host will get to have a free shot and see if they can get it right. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm. Ready.
Yeah, that's the energy I'm looking for. Okay, let's see who's been listening. How's our listening skills? Okay, confident.
So.
Well, they say God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason, because we need to double our listening skills. So I'm going to take that advice for myself. But let's get to this first question here. Last weekend, a Fijian town with a population of roughly 14,000 people built on the banks of a river with its local economy built on primarily sugarcane and known for its love for soccer, played host to a Super Rugby Pacific match involving the Drua, who got the win over the Brumbies. Okay, it's a part of Fiji's largest geographical province, the Bar Province. What's the name of the town?
Oh, dear.
It's in the question.
Gabriel.
Yes, hello. Go Gabs.
It's Bar.
It's in Bar. Carlo, didn't you bring this story in?
I know, but that was tricky because you already said Bar, and I'm like, what? Yeah, well, is there another name for it?
You know, me too.
That's we got creative this week. So I liked that we put the answer inside the question see who was listening. And obviously I had to whisper it because we would have been here forever. With you two trying to guess.
Point.
Yeah, scratching your head going, where is this place in Bar? It is Bar. Okay, let's go to a question. And then it's not the Bar you're thinking of, Galo. Billfish. But okay, let's go to question number two. This is a who am I? I was born in Sydney and grew up on the New South Wales Central Coast. I am now 30 years of age and I'm related to Australia's greatest ever goal scorer, Team Cahill. I'm known as a southpaw and a cruiserweight. Yes, I am a boxer. From 30 fights, I am undefeated, with 23 of those fights by knockout. My father is Samoan, and I'm filled with pride for my heritage. I'm a two-time IBF champion and considered by experts as one of the best pound-for-pound fighters on the planet, despite being criminally underappreciated by sporting fans down under. I recently fought in Vegas for the first time, and guess what? I won that one as well. Who am I?
Gabriel.
Go, Gabriel.
I hope I'm right. Is it Jay Opataya?
It is Jai Opataya, but we'll take it. We will take that one.
Jai Opataya. The body shot against Glenn. Jai Omai. Opataya has arrived stateside.
Gullo, are you still there? Just checking.
I'm cooling down under the palm tree right now.
You're there, but you're not all there. That's all good. We will go to joking. This is where I do my best work. When it comes to reading the script, not so good, but off the cuff, this is where I do my best. Here we go. Question number three. Round four of the OFC Pro League wrapped up yesterday with the PNG Hikari, Tahiti United, Vanuatu United and Auckland all taking part in the two games that concluded the round of action that took place in Honiara in the Solomon Islands. Both games ended with what results?
Gabriel.
Gullo, again, are you there? But Gabriel, please, fire away.
No, don't worry. I'm just guessing at this point.
That's all you need to do.
1-0 Well, for everybody.
I'm going to give that because, yes, it was a draw. Both games ended in a draw. Yes, that's all I was looking for. PNG and Tahiti United finished 2-2, and Vanuatu United and Auckland United finished 0-0. So there you go. The Auckland-based side remain in first with a five-point buffer from South Melbourne FC. The mighty Solomon Kings are in third place. Round five takes place in Fiji in a few weeks' time. And there you have it, ladies. That was 3-0. 3-0. Yeah. How good was that?
Yes.
Okay,
hang on. I have to go and check my buzzer. I think it's on mute.
Yes, I think it was. Please check your buzzer for next time. But that's all we have time for our show today. It's been an amazing awesome. Show. A big thank you to Kalo and Gabs. And thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.